Let's go out to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline behind enemy lines with Chris Solari. He covers Michigan State for the Free Press. Chris, thank you so much for your time. Before we get into some of the specifics of this matchup, where is Dino right now with this program? Where is he with the fan base? Where does he stand in Sparty Nation?
That's a good question. I mean, hi guys, by the way.
Welcome. Yeah,
you know, it's certainly you know, with the last 2 years, there's been some frustration on the offensive side. I think that in large part because people feel that frustration because the offense has struggled and the defense has been so good. And I mean, you know, everybody knows that Mark D'Antonio is a defense coach first, and that's his bread and butter. I think there's been some concern that he's, I don't know if meddling is the word that I would use, but he's had his hands in the offensive game plan and not allowed his coordinators to kind of open things up a little bit. I think you're starting to see that with Brad Salem's offense right now. I think they realized, and Mark D'Antonio realized he had to make some significant overhauls. And the way that he did it was interesting in just shuffling the staff. And that, I think, to the fans at large, they were worried about that. I think that was a big thing. It's, you know, has Mark D'Antonio kind of, you know, lost his luster by doing that instead of going out and getting other coaches? But he has trust in those coaches. He's been with a lot of those coaches. I think he's with Bowman up here in Michigan State years ago and then down in Columbus as well. So there's an implicit trust with what he can do on the offensive line, and you put him back in that spot. He was with Mark Staten at Cincinnati, and he's with him here, and you put him back on tight ends. And, you know, Salem's kind of the one guy. He had been with the running backs when he came in from Augustana College, a Division II school where he was a head coach. And, you know, he's back doing that as well as calling the plays now. So I think that, you know, you've seen an uptick in the offense. I don't think there's any question that this offense is better. And I think that's kind of relieved some fans' frustration and maybe angst a little bit. But now the big question is this five-game stretch for them, how much of it was are these changes going to affect those games?
Chris, leading up to last week's game, and I was on the call for the Indiana-Michigan State game, you know, the coaches kept talking about consistency on offense, right? You would have the Arizona State game where you had a bunch of yards, couldn't capitalize on points, missed field goals, stuff like that, to where the week after, you know, you didn't have as much yards, but you capitalized on the red zone trips. And then Indiana seemed they were able to put points up as well. Do you feel now is the sense that they're starting to get an identity with who they are offensively? Are they still kind of feeling this out?
Yeah, I think there's more of an identity and more of a rhythm with it. I think that's natural when you make as many changes as they did. I mean, some of them are subtle. I mean, but, you know, hey, you know, Mark D'Antonio has always tried to keep his defense off the field. That's been his big thing. You know, time of possession on offense. You know, you remember those grinding kind of drives that they had against Iowa back in the Big Ten championship game in 2015, you know, 17, 18 plays. But he also is under the realization now that college football's changed a little bit and that the big plays are the way to go and that you score more points when you sometimes have shorter drives. And I think that's you know, you're starting to see that consistency build with that tempo with Lewerke in particular. I think that he's very comfortable just going quick. And I think the guys around him do that. They kind of respond to it. They respond to his leadership with that. You know, that's obviously one thing. And, you know, you did see that between the game at Northwestern and game last week in Indiana. The offense was moving and moving the ball well and consistently. I think field position too has helped. You know, and that's kind of a weird thing to say, but when they had their punting problems last year, I mean, you remember that game up here, Drew Chrisman had probably an All-American game in one day up here.
And
Michigan State could not get out of their own end. And Jake Hartbarger coming back from his broken leg has really helped that. I mean, that Northwestern game, part of the reason that they only had 337 yards is because they were able to flip the field with the punt. And, you know, they got some returns. So there weren't as many opportunities to drive the length of the field like they've had to in the past 2 years. So, you know, I think that has certainly helped the offense a lot in terms of the confidence. And, you know, I do think that last week's game maybe against Indiana, and Jane, maybe you can kind of speak to this too a little bit, but I think that it was big for both sides of Michigan State's ball. One, that the offense built some confidence going into this week, and two, that the defense maybe had a little bit of a just comeuppance and humbling and still managed to survive.
Yeah, that was going to be my other question. It seemed like Indiana's attack was, hey, let's throw it to the outside to guys like Watt Fillier and everyone, and also use our big body wideouts when we got close to the red zone. Michael Penix was impressive. And you thought that game is, as you know, between Indiana and Michigan State, with the exception of last year, it's been a hard-fought game, and it's always been kind of situational type stuff that has been the difference. But do you think that game, as you mentioned, with the defense, that they figured out, it kind of gave them the ability of, oh, okay, this is how Ohio State's going to try to attack us now, quick stuff to the outside and use their big body wide receivers like a Ben Victor and some jump ball situations. Do you think that was kind of like a hidden blessing for that Spartan defense, which is elite against the run?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in particular, Josiah Scott, I think that, that's a kid that was a freshman All-American a couple years ago.
Yep.
Hurt half of last year. But they picked on him. Michael Penix picked on him because he had that 6'4" matchup with Hale and against the 5'10" corner. And I mean, you know, that's a good matchup to go at. But Scott's a kid who has responded to those kind of challenges in the past. So I think that, you know, he's going to be tested again. And that cornerback situation right now, I mean, they've had some hands penalties that, you know, have been, you know, with the Josh Butler defensive holding and a Kalen Gervin pass interference and a couple pass interferences last week with Scott, and Butler's had some issues in coverage deep. I would imagine that Ohio State's seeing that. I mean, you saw that at the end of that game when Indiana needed to move the ball. They were using the pass interference as an offensive weapon to gain traction. And, you know, it was very Brian Kelly-esque what Kelly did against Michigan State in 2013. Just throw the jump ball and move the chains 15 yards a pop. I mean, you know, I think that this defense sees that and recognizes that. And they understand that teams can't run against them. And I also think, you know, just from just kind of the cursory watch back on that game, that Michigan State looked like a defense that was preparing for a different quarterback. And D'Antonio talked about it Tuesday before the Indiana game, and then he talked about it in his pregame before that game on Saturday, that they were preparing for Peyton Ramsey. And, you know, I thought Indiana's best chance was exactly what they did, go with Penix, go short, and then go long.
Chris Solari, our guest, Detroit Free Press on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Chris, I'll get you out of here on this one. In 13 and in 15, two of the biggest wins in Mark D'Antonio's tenure at Michigan State come against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship game, 15 here in Columbus, and in one of maybe Urban's most talented team in a game in the rain. Those teams, in retrospect, though, were loaded with talent that I don't know got the attention that it merited going into the game. Now, in retrospect, we can look back and go, those teams were pretty loaded. Does this Michigan State team have the talent roster to come in here and knock off a Buckeye team that is a pretty big favorite? I think it's 17 points or something like that right now.
Yeah, I think it's up to 20.
Did it get that big already? Jeez.
I've seen it at 20.5 earlier in the week, and I think it came back down a little bit today.
Okay.
I think on the defensive side of the ball, they do. I definitely think that, you know, they haven't really done a lot of blitzing, but, you know, there were times in that Northwestern game where they just pressured Hunter Johnson. I mean, Hunter Johnson's a very talented quarterback, going to be a very big star in this league eventually, but they pressured him and they knocked him on his backside a lot. And I think that they've got the talent to be able to do that on the defensive side of the ball to Justin Fields. Now, offensively, you know, it's kind of a coin flip. You know, it's that inconsistency. Can they produce like they have the last 2 weeks, or are they going to go into a shell like they did the last couple games? And, you know, how I think the chess match is going to be interesting too, because, you know, you mentioned the 13 and 15 games, but I think the one that I'm looking back to and kind of wondering about is that 2011 game where they went down there. I think they beat Ohio State 10-7 in the Horseshoe, but that was with Luke Fickell, first year coach.
Right. Yep.
Kind of feeling his way around in a first marquee kind of matchup. And, you know, I'm curious to see how Ryan Day responds and how that those two coaches go head to head. You know, I mean, in experience, you go with D'Antonio in that kind of game. And I think that he's proven that over time he showed it against Urban Meyer twice. Who's done that? I mean, only other one I can think of is Dabo Swinney. So
that's a short list.
Very short list. You know, I think the inner workings of this matchup is going to be the one thing that maybe determines it.
Chris, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
All right, you got it, guys. Take care.